Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
With us again today for our life study is Francis Ball.
Francis, we're going to focus in our program today on eating the spiritual food. The spiritual food is a concept I think that most Christians hold, but you hear varying interpretations of what that really is. What is it, Francis, to feast upon the Lord or to eat Christ as our spiritual food?
Well, the Lord Jesus once said concerning his words, he said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, he says first. They are spirit. And we have a spirit. So we must take the words of the Bible as spirit in order for them to be life. Jesus could say, they are spirit and they are life. And the way we take them with our spirit becomes life to us. And this really means that we're taking Christ in as our life, as our enjoyment, and we are feeding on Him by using the Word of God, the Bible. So as we exercise our inner being, called our spirit, to take in what you call spiritual food, we really are taking in spiritual food with the right organ. But if we try to take it in just with our mental capacity, we miss the spiritual aspect of the food, and we only get maybe some good doctrine, some nice teaching, but we don't get the feeding that we need, the food that really nourishes our spirit.
Of course, we need the Bible in the aspect of studying it and learning from it, but for the Word to be spirit and life, as you said, it really requires the exercise of this additional organ on our part beyond just our mentality, doesn't it?
Very definitely. We never leave out the fact that we use our mind, but we turn these words from our mind to our spirit, and we do that mostly by praying. And some have called this pray reading the Word, which we have practiced quite much. This was a big help to get the Word into us, to pray the very words of the Bible.
Francis, particularly in this first section, we're going to be seeing again the matter of the manna and the hidden manna that's presented in Hebrews, a reference back to the Old Testament. This is a very enjoyable portion. Let's join Witness Lee with this first portion of today's life study from Hebrews.
We have to see some principles in the matter of the spiritual food. The eating of the spiritual food depends upon altogether the distance we have between us and the Lord. The distance between you and the Lord, this decides how much spiritual food you can eat, how much spiritual food you can participate in. This depends upon the distance between you and the Lord. First of all, you all can see one thing. When all the people were in Egypt, they were through with manna. While manna was there as the spiritual food to God's people in the wilderness, if by that time you were in Egypt, that means you were off. You just consider the situation. Those people who were in the wilderness were closer to God than those who remained in Egypt. Today we can say that by that time God was not in Egypt. God was in wilderness. I'd like to illustrate a little bit more. Even you would be in the wilderness if you are not close to the camp where the children of Israel were camping. If you would not do the camping with them, if you were far off from them, you would be hard to participate in the heavenly manna. For you to share the heavenly manna, you have to be in the camp. So distance really means something for us in the matter of the enjoyment of the spiritual food. We all have to see this principle. Then we go on. Manna came down around the camp. And those who were, number one, out of Egypt. And number two, camping with God's people. They all had the privilege to participate in the enjoyment of the heavenly manna. This is clear. Then God gave them a commandment that they had to offer one omer of manna back to God. Manna came from God. Manna was given to them from God. Now God commanded that one omer of manna had to be separated and presented back to God. Manna came from God, now it had to be presented back to God. After being presented back to God, it became no more the open manna. It became the hidden manna. Why? Because this portion of manna, right away after being presented back to God, was put into the pot. After being put in the pot, it became hidden. Originally, it was under the sky, in the open air. It was open to everything, to everybody. But now, this top portion, after being presented to God, was put into the pot, hidden. And the pot was brought into the most inner part of the tabernacle. And the most inner part of the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. And this pot heading the top portion of manna was put in front of the testimony of God that was in front of the ark.
Francis, we have touched manna in a couple of previous broadcasts on Hebrews, but I'm intrigued today specifically by the hidden aspect of the manna that was in the Holy of Holies. What is the significance of first eating it openly and then, after presenting it to God, hiding it within the golden pot?
Well, of course, as we've said before, the manna that the children of Israel were given to eat while they were wandering in the wilderness is a type of Christ as our food, as the bread of life to us, to the believers. The picture is that they could eat the manna every day just by going out to gather it. This shows us how we can enjoy Christ every day, wherever we are. He's so available to us. If you just call His name and open your heart to Him, you will enjoy this open manna, and it'll become food to you. But as Brother Lee pointed out, 1/10 of an omer of this portion must be given back to God. That portion is typified by the hidden manna that was put in the golden pot and put into the ark in the Holy of Holies in that tabernacle in the wilderness. I believe many Christians have never had much thought that we are not only to enjoy Christ for ourselves, but we also must offer the top part of this enjoyment back to God, the top 10%. That part becomes the hidden manna. Of course, you understand, we're not talking about the 10% of the tithe of money. We're talking about the enjoyment of Christ that is put in a hidden place for God alone, for Him to enjoy. This is a special portion for God the Father's enjoyment.
Francis, this is a deep and very intimate item of our experience with God, and certainly it warrants a couple of programs and a couple more portions ahead of us today. Let's go back to Witness Lee for more of this life study.
You just check yourself how far or how close you are to the Lord. Let me illustrate this matter of distance further. We know after manna, the children of Israel ate the produce of the Golan. At any time, they could participate in the produce of the Golan. When the time of feast came, three times a year, the feast of Passover, the feast of the weeks, that means Pentecost, and the feast of the tabernacle, three times a year, all the children of Israel had to come together, not to eat the general produce, but to eat that portion of the produce of the Golan reserved purposely for the feast. In the ordinary time, regular time, they enjoyed something quite common. But when the feast came, on the feast, they enjoyed something better. Why? Because at the feast time, they became closer to God. Because they all came together to God's dwelling place. Around that God's dwelling place, they enjoyed the better produce of the good land. You can see a matter of distance. Then out of the better things, they were enjoying of the produce of the good land, they offered one-tenth. And this one-tenth was the top of all the better produce of the good land. And this one-tenth, if you go to them, they would tell you this one-tenth was, by that time, the top portion of all the better produce of the good land after God. And this one-tenth went to the Levites and the priests, went to those who were serving in the altar court and to those who were ministering in the holy place. Because these people, the Levites and the priests, were more close to God than all the rest of the people. So you can see the closer to God you are, the better enjoyment of the spiritual food you have. And according to Numbers 18, we can see that even the Levites and the priests, after receiving the one-tenth from the people, they have to take one-tenth of that one-tenth. And they offer this one-tenth of the one-tenth to God as a heave offering. An offering lifted up. And this one-tenth of the one-tenth, the top portion of the top portion, offered to God as a heave offering, went to Aaron, the high priest, who ministered to God neither in the altar court nor in the holy place, but in the Holy of Holies. He was the one who was most close to God. So he had the top right to enjoy the top of the better produce of the good land. What portion of the spiritual food will be yours? This depends upon the distance you have with the Lord.
Brother Francis, the nature and quality of our portion of the experience of Christ is directly linked to the distance that exists between God and us. I think this is a realization that should have a profound effect on all serious followers of the Lord Jesus. Practically, Francis, how do we reduce this distance, this separation between us and God?
Chris, this is a matter of distance from God is something that every believer should take very seriously. How to reduce this distance? It's illustrated both by the tabernacle in the wilderness and also by the feasts the children of Israel had and held several times a year. Concerning the tabernacle in the wilderness, the children of Israel were all camped around the tabernacle, which gave them the benefit of partaking of the open manna. They were out of Egypt, but still in the wilderness, which was better than being in Egypt, but still quite a distance from God Himself. So how we proceed and how we lessen that distance that we have between us and God is really illustrated by the different steps in the tabernacle. To come nearer to God was to get into the tabernacle by first coming to the brazen altar, which is Christ at the cross. We have the same experience. When we come to Christ, we come initially to Him because of what He did on the cross. We come to the cross of Christ for forgiveness, for cleansing from our sin. That is marvelous, and we can never speak highly enough of the work that was done by Christ at the cross. But if we just stay there, we're still at a distance from God that we don't need to be. For example, after you have that brazen altar, which is the cross of Christ, you have a laver of water where the priests, before they could go in to the tabernacle itself, had to wash, because we experience still getting dirty hands and dirty feet. We need to be those who experience the Word of God as the washing Word that washes us from any uncleanness so we can get nearer to God. Then when we get inside the tabernacle proper, the building itself, we come to a table of showbread. There's 12 loaves of bread on the table, all freshly baked. And we go there to eat the fresh Christ. We get closer to God because we get more of God into us. By feeding on Christ in this kind of way, taking His Word in as Spirit and life, taking Him in by exercising our spirit, we really get closer to God. That turns us next to the lampstand, which is just behind us when we're at the table. The lampstand gives us the light. So as we eat the Lord and enjoy the Lord, take Him in as our food, we get lots of light. That takes us to the golden altar, which is right in front of the Holy of Holies. And there is an illustration of our praying, of our enjoying God in prayer, opening ourselves. And this praying in this way takes us right into the Holy of Holies. Now we're in God's presence. All distance is gone. When that veil is rent, in our experience, that means the flesh no longer hinders us from touching God. We are in the Holy of Holies, there to enjoy God in His presence. That's one aspect. The other aspect is, as Brother Lee brought out, was the aspect of the feasts of the children of Israel. When they came together, in the good land particularly, when they came together several times a year, that coming together gave them much, much more enjoyment of Christ and His rich supply to them. To realize this distance that we have from God can be lessened by our experience of Christ day by day and also meeting by meeting, we will see how much the Lord has for us to enjoy and how much we have to give to God the Father as we enjoy Christ.
Francis, I'm so happy that you brought out these two aspects. Many times in our walk with the Lord is very rich and very sweet to us individually. Other times, that experience is less intense. And it seems like then this second experience, the corporate experience, becomes more and more precious and valuable to us. It's very scriptural, isn't it, that this would be a real factor in, as you have been talking about, decreasing the distance between us and God. We need the other members.
Right. If we don't have that, we miss a lot, because it's easy for us to be interpreting everything according to our own understanding. But when we're together and members of the body of Christ in our gathering, then we get lots of light that we didn't get before. Really, that's the meaning of the lampstand. It represents the church, as we see in Revelation. So to get the light of the lampstand is much better than to getting the individual light.
Francis, you mentioned Revelation. I'll use that as a springboard into this last section. Witness Lee is going to touch a portion in Revelation that dovetails with the hidden manna. Let's join him now.
Check with your experiences. Some may say the omer of hidden manna was only kept there for a kind of memorial, not for eating. We tell Revelation 2:17, you are right. When we come to the book of Revelation, out of a sudden the Lord promised to those overcomers in the church at Pergamos. We all have to know the church of Pergamos was a church that was married to the world. a worldly church. A church that goes back to Egypt. A church that makes God's house more worldly than the Egyptians. The promise of eating the hidden manna was given to the overcomers in such a worldly church. That means if you are overcoming being worldly, overcoming remaining in the world, that means surely you should be one. That is right in the presence of God. So here you are privileged to eat the hidden man. The open Christ has been enjoyed through the centuries. But the top portion of Christ has been kept in the presence of God for those whom the church becomes worldly. And these dear ones would not go along with anything worldly. They would stay strictly right in the presence of God. For these dear ones, the person of Christ kept in the presence of God becomes their privilege. This is the hidden manna. What is the hidden manna? The hidden manna is just that portion you enjoy in the presence of God without any distance. The farther you are from God, the less service you have toward God. The Egyptians far off, they didn't have any service toward God. The closer you become to God, the more service you render to God. But eventually, when you get into the presence of the divine glory, in the Holy of Holies, even all the services will be stopped. You just have the direct presence of the Lord. Here you enjoy the hidden Christ. Here the portion of your enjoyment of this special food is the hidden manna. But don't forget, it is here you have the direct fellowship with the Lord. And it is here that you know His heart. And it is here that you know His intention. And it is here that you could be charged with Him. And charged with all His intention. And it is here you will be charged with all what He wants to do. So you will be the person that knows Him and knows His heart and knows His intention.
Francis, we got a marvelous definition here of the hidden manna. If I can quote it, at least roughly, that portion which we eat and enjoy in the presence of God without any distance. This is wonderful, isn't it, Francis?
It certainly is.
The hidden manna mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, seems to convey a future implication or aspect of the hidden manna. Is that your understanding here?
Actually, of course, when you get to Revelation, most people think of everything in the future. But Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here in this book, we enjoy a lot of Jesus Christ. The main part of this verse, I believe, that you're referring to is, I will give of the hidden manna. And of course, we think of that someday, somehow, in some way, we're going to get the hidden manna. That's true. But that's not all the truth. According to the Bible, He is willing to give us the hidden manna now if we are overcoming the church in Pergamos, which is really the church that's been mingled with the world, become so worldly. If we are those who overcome the worldly church, this reward is offered to those who overcome that worldliness. If we overcome that by enjoying Christ, we're eating the hidden manna. At that point, we are really experiencing something of being an overcomer. So it's not altogether for the future. If we will forsake everything and come to Christ, just be for Christ, we will see that we have the enjoyment of this Christ like we never dreamed was possible. So I hope many get this whole message, because it opens up so much about how to enjoy Christ.
Francis, this has been, I think, a particularly profound and significant life study message and program today because of this aspect of our fellowship, our contact with God, and the fact that there's no necessity for us to be separated and at a great distance. The enjoyment of the hidden manna is something that comes when we are very near and so close to Him. And I think these aspects and the matter of overcoming, as referred to in Revelation 2, all just fit together. I think we both look to the Lord very much that these words could draw the listeners to this kind of experience of the living God.
I certainly hope so too, because once we're in the Holy of Holies, we're in the very presence of God and all distance is gone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's really where God intends for His people to be. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.